Thank you, preacher. It's a real blessing to be here. And am I on there? I can't tell if I'm on or not. And I told the brother back there, I believe he gave me the croup last night. And I sound like him. Sound like I'm growling. And but I tell you, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be here. And I've looked forward to the meeting ever since I got the card. I wrote it down, and honestly, I didn't come. I originally didn't come to preach. I come just to sit and listen. And because you know what? You kind of get to thinking, man, you're a lone wolf in the woods, you know. Ain't nobody else thinks like you. You know, you're crazy, you're nuts, you're mad, you've lost your mind, all that kind of stuff. And man, it's good to come just sit down with some people of like faith. Amen. Amen. And I primarily come here for three different reasons. Number one, I need a doctor. I need a doctor to give me a medical exemption so I can travel. I want to go about two trips to Cuba to help one of our missionaries out. And, man, I ain't taking that vaccine. Right. You say, why? I don't want to. Did I tell you that I didn't want to? And I mean, if you know one that can help me out, I could sure use one. And number two, some of you ain't gonna believe this, but I came to get right with a brother. And I prayed shortly right before I left the house in North Carolina. I prayed, I said, Lord, if you'll let that brother be there in the service, I don't know why, I just feel like, I said, I'm gonna go to him and I wanna apologize to him. You say, why would you do that? Because I felt like the Lord wanted me to. You say, ain't you got pride? I lost my pride a long time ago, cowboy. Amen. And you say, I'd never do that. I know that's why you never be right with God. Some of you men, some of you ladies, preachers, pastors, I mean, man, God nudges your heart. I never forget, I walked into a church and I've got a platform. I've got radio, television, that we're on. I've got a platform that I could really belittle. And me and this other preacher, we kind of got in some little tiffs here and there. You know what I'm talking about. And I said some things that wasn't untrue, but Dr. Carter just wasn't right to say about a brother. And I walked into church, a revival meeting. I looked up there, and there he's sitting, surrounded by a bunch of preachers. The Holy Ghost said, go up there and apologize. I said, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. Ain't no way, Lord, I'm going to go up there. He said, you will too. And I said, I ain't going up there. Not in front of all these people. In front of all these people. I ain't going up there. He said, you will too. And I sat there, and the longer I sat there, the bigger the knot grew. And I started getting sick in my stomach. And I said, all right, I'm going up there. Walked up there and got down on my knees in front of him. And I said, brother, I said some unkind things about you. And I said, I want you to forgive me. He said, I'd never do that, preacher. Hell, you'll never be right with God either. Amen. I mean, you got some in this building, you're willing to fight, bleed, and die for your guns and your Bible. And you ain't even got the guts to get up and go apologize to a brother and sister that you hurt. I don't know if the Lord will work it out or not. I ain't seen him yet. But if he wants to walk in, I'll get it right. I'll get it right. Regardless if I did anything wrong or not, I'll get it right. But number three, just to challenge you. Don't ever give up hope. Yeah. Folks, I'm telling you, we're living in some dangerous, dangerous times. Amen. If you're not careful, it would be awful easy. As a brother was already preaching, be awful easy. Just throw up your hands and just crawl in your little cave and pull your dirt up over yourself and just give up. Right. Amen. Never, and that's what I'm going to be preaching about tonight, this morning, for a few minutes. I don't want to preach long because I want to hear Dr. Carter and some of these other preachers. But on the subject of just never, 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 ever, under no circumstances, do you ever give up hope. If you ever give up hope, man, you're in trouble. You are in big trouble, cowboy. And I was talking to my boy this morning, and he was telling me, he said, Daddy, I want to read you an article that he got on his phone. And he said, you're not going to believe it. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The brother that just, where you at, brother? Did you leave? You didn't leave because of preaching, did you? Oh, had to go to ordination. All right, but he's right. This world is not a playground. Amen. This world's a battlefield. Yeah. I'm afraid we ain't even got begun to even imagine how bad it could be getting. Yeah. And but he said, Daddy, I want to read this to you. And he was talking about, read an article where somewhere between, I think it's January the 20-something to February through the 1st of February, they're going to be conducting, this is the Army, United States Army, going to be conducting guerrilla warfare, training somewhere in North Carolina to combat freedom fighters. Yes. Yes. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you vets, you have served in the military. If I'm not mistaken, you fought. You sacrificed your life for freedom. Here they are. Here they are training our army military to combat freedom fighters like the ones on January the 6th. That is Trump supporters, if you don't know what I'm talking about. Conservatives, Christians, Americans who still believe in freedom. Take a stand against communism. All right? Folks, something big, something very, very big is about to happen. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that it is the rapture. Amen. I'm going to be a reading, spot reading, four different places in your Bible. And just look at the subject here, try to challenge you here, and just look at the subject here of just never, ever give up hope. Never give up hope. Look what he said in Acts chapter number 28. Look in verse number 20. Paul the apostle here, he's locked up. He's in Rome. And he said, for this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, the hope of Israel, I'm bound with this chain. Now look with me in Acts chapter number 27. Look in verse number 20. The Bible said, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small stir, no small tempest lay on us, notice this, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Right. You ever been there before? Yeah. If you read that entire story, you'll find there in the storm, Some of them was wanting to cut the dinghy off and go down, wanting to take the boat into the shores there. And Paul said, unless he's abiding the ship, can't be saved. Now, that ain't scripture. That ain't no proof that you can lose your salvation. Help me out there. Amen. But I tell you what that is scripture for. I'll give you some good advice. When you're middle of the storm, you better stay in the boat. You don't want to jump out. You don't want to jump out of the boat in the middle of a storm. Amen. And the best thing you can do is just stay with that old-fashioned church. Stick with that old-fashioned Bible preacher. Stick with that old-fashioned book. Am I right? Stick with that old-fashioned way. Don't ever change. Don't ever all just stay with the stick with the stuff. And just stay. If you will stay in the boat, God will bring you through the storm. But he said, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Look with me now. Turn with me in Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. Look in verse number 18. Romans chapter number 4 in verse number 18. The Bible said in verse number 18, notice this. Talking about Abraham here, who against hope believed in hope. Who, when there was no hope, believed in hope. Amen. You ever get to the place where you think, hell, there ain't no hope. Right. Ain't no hope. Good to see these kids coming in. These kids right here outside of Jesus Christ, Dr. Carter ain't got a lick of hope. That's right. No hope whatsoever. Right. The only hope you have and we have is the hope that they have in this blessed old book right here. Amen. And the hope in Jesus Christ. Look in one other place, Psalm chapter number 42. Psalm chapter number 42. Psalm chapter number 42, look in verse number 5. Psalm 42 and verse number 5. I've got a smorgasbord of notes up here. You say, what does that mean? That means I ain't got the slightest idea exactly what I'm going to say. And that is dangerous. Look in verse number 5. The Bible said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted? In other words, defeated, discouraged, depressed, down and out. Anybody here like that today? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Look down in verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Look in chapter 43. Look in verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. Isn't it a blessing to know that if you won't give up hope, thank God the sun will shine again? Some of you sitting here right now, you're thinking, preacher, I've lost the touch of God, the blessing of God. I mean, Lord, I'm down in the valley, I'm down in the storm, I can't feel God nowhere. It seemed like God packed up and moved off and went on vacation somewhere. Just seemed like there is no hope. But I want to tell you, if you'll just hope in God and stay faithful, stay in the boat and stay true and ride with God, I'm telling you, if you'll stay right, the sun will shine again. The blessing will flow again, my friend. But you have to stay faithful in the storm, because if you don't stay faithful in the storm, man, if you ever get to that place where you just give up hope, you're gone. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus for just a few minutes that you'd help me, oh Lord. Father, that I could say something to help and encourage, challenge, build up the people of God here and out, young and old. Oh Lord, help us, Father, I pray, never ever to give up, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how hard it gets, no matter whether in the good or the bad. Oh Lord, in the mountaintop, the valley, whether the storm or the sunshine, help us, Father, I pray, oh God, to stay faithful to you. Wash us afresh in the blood. Fill us, Lord, with the Holy Ghost, and endue us with power from on high. And everything that you do, God, I will give you praise and the honor and the glory for it all. For I'm asking it in the name of the Lord Jesus, for his sake, amen. Now, I've read about four plays, and I'm going to mention these real briefly. And just thinking on the subject of hope. Never, never, I don't care what happened. I don't care what this year brings. I don't care if it's a mountaintop. I don't care if it's a valley. I don't care if it's a storm. I don't care if it's prison, persecution, whatever it might be. Don't never, ever get to the place where you just give up hope on God. You just keep on hoping and just keep on believing and just keep on trusting God. I got some New Year's resolutions. I have them every year. And certain goals that I kind of set for myself. Had our deacons meeting. I set our deacons down. And I got some great deacons. And we went over some of the things that I want. And some things we got to do in 2022. That'll right. That'll preach right there. And but I've also got some personal things that I've sort of set in my life that I want to do. I mean, number one, I want to be devoted to God. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be ugly. Hey, kids, I'll help you out right here. I'm this wishy-washy, in and out, fence straddling. I mean, one minute living for the Lord and another minute living for the world. It will not cut it in the day and time we're living in. It ain't going to be emotion. As the preacher's already said, you know, we got this generation. All they want to do is just come and praise God. And just dance. And somebody asked me a while back when I was going to get me a praise team. And I said, I've already got two of them. One of them's a Sunday morning choir, and the other one's a Sunday night choir. Amen. If you think I'm going to get me a couple little fairies to float around in white dresses while they're singing the contemporary music and call that work, you're smoking something and it ain't cigarettes. Ain't going to happen, folks. I want, listen to me, it is not if you are going to make it through 2020. Hey, that'll preach too. If you are going to make it through in 2022, it's going to take some devotion. I'm talking about 100% sold out, surrendered, living for God and serving the Lord and just making up your mind you're just going to do right. I got to watch out. I ain't got a whole lot of notes. I might say a wordy nerd. You got to make up your mind you're just going to do right. Amen. One of my resolutions is to be devoted. Number two, I've made up my mind if God will help me, because He'll have to help me, because I'm not real good at it. I've made up my mind I'm not going to be distracted. Folks, I'm telling you, we are so wrapped, and I'm talking about fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, premillennial, KJV, I'm talking about the old. We are so easily drawn into distractions, things, fighting things we really ain't got no business in fighting. Amen. I mean, getting all mad and tore up. I was coming down the road and I was deer hunting. I believe this was during COVID. And I had COVID. I went deer hunting about every day. And I was driving down the road and somebody got on my bumper. Anybody do that? You get on your bumper, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, got on my bumper. I mean, about that far off of my bumper and the lights on bright. And I'm thinking, this idiot, he ain't got brain one, whoever it is, probably a woman. And I'm right on my bumper like that, lights on bright. And I'm thinking, I'm getting madder, I can feel it. I'm getting madder and madder and madder and madder. And you say, well, why didn't you slam on your brakes? Not a good thing. And literally they know. I'm coming back from deer hunting. I got 38 on my side. I got a loaded 270 in the back seat of my car, on my truck. And I got a sign on the back of the truck, if you died today, would you go to heaven or hell? It's not a good thing to get behind somebody like that. And honest to God, I got so mad, I stopped dead still in the road. And I thought, well, sure they'd go around me. They just sit there like that with the lights on bright. And I got so mad, I thought, I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to go back there, and I'm going to drag him out of that vehicle. I'm going to beat the stuffings out of them. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said this, if you got that aggravated and that mad over things that really matter, you'd have revival. Hey, listen, I made up my mind. I've asked God to help me to not care. You believe that? I mean, there's so much stuff we get all tangled up in. Well, what my friends think about you. Who cares what they think about you? Amen. Just live for God. Amen. Come hell or high water, just live for God. Amen. I mean, I've made up my mind if God will help me, and it is a work in progress. I've made up my mind that I want to care for the things that God cares for. Amen. And the things that God doesn't care for, I don't want to care for it. It really maketh no difference to me. Amen. I mean, listen, if we cared half as much for the scriptures as we do the science, we'd have revival here today. If we cared half as much about sinners dying and going to hell as we do somebody getting on our bumper with their lights on bright, you can say amen. Amen. We'd have revival, wouldn't we? Yeah. It's amazing how we get all wrapped up and all tore up over things that don't even matter, and the things that really matter, they don't bother us. Yeah. I just made up my mind, if God will help me, I don't want to get distracted. I want to keep my priorities straight. I want to keep my eyes on the Lord. I want to keep my focus straight. I want to just live for God, pass out tracts, witness, preach, live for God, deer hunt, deer hunt, deer hunt. I just want to please God in everything. Woo! I felt something with that one, didn't you? I made up my mind, if God helps me, I want to be devoted. I don't want to get distracted. And then I've made up my mind. I've made this decision. I'm not going to get discouraged. Now, God has helped me. I don't want to get discouraged, defeated, downcast. I don't want to get to the place where I just give up hope on God. And folks, don't you sit there and say, it'll never happen to me. Oh, yeah. It can happen to you. I mean, I've got certain things. I try to read my Bible through every year. I've done it for 47 years. And in 2021, I got to read my Bible through. I mean, all the way through the Old Testament one time and the New Testament two times. I have systematically, repeatedly, over, repetitiously, over and over and over, tried to read my Bible through at least one time every year. And I know I've read it through. I've done gave up counting now over 50 times. And listen to me, folks. One of the best ways to keep yourself out of going into the dumps, spend a lot of time in that book right there. I mean, 40 years I've challenged our young people. Listen to me, kids. One of the best things you'll ever do in your life, don't wait till you're old. I mean, do it now. Get you an old King James Bible and read it over and over and over systematically. I mean, love it, read it, memorize it, put it to practice in your life, and it will, that book will literally revolutionize your life. I mean, listen to me. I'm a little bit partial. I got so much stuff up here, I'm afraid I might lose it. But there's something up here. They ain't nothing like that book right there. Amen. That book right there, that authorized 1611, that's the inspired, infallible, inerrant words, preserved words of the living God. Amen. There ain't no book like this book. Am I all right? I've read it through many times. I've done some studying on it, and I made this statement to our church, and I believe it was a couple of Sundays ago. Brother Carl can remember. I don't. But this book contains about 7,000 years of human history. 6,000 already has been taken care of. The 7,000 is the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Am I all right? Got 66 books. I had my boy to go online. I'm a dinosaur. Amen. Yeah. I don't have the internet. Right. I don't have a smartphone. Right. I don't have satellite, cable TV. Yeah. I mean, if it don't come on me TV, we don't hardly watch it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Listen to me. I never knew what Twitter was until I heard about Donald Trump getting attacked so much. Somebody said something about, somebody was tweeting, and I thought, son, you better not tweet me, I'll knock your head off. First time I ever heard somebody talk about Googling. Oh, God, I mean, I was driving down the road coming down from West Virginia, and I thought, surely I got to find something to keep me awake late at night. And I was trying to flip through there, and all of a sudden I come upon these two guys, and they're talking about Googling each other. And I said, uh-uh, buddy, I ain't listening to that field. Uh-uh. That sounded perverse. Sound like weirdos, brother. I thought, there ain't nobody gonna Google me, buddy. I'll knock her head off. I know you ain't supposed to be a striker. I know that, or a brawler. But I thought, you Google me and I'll knock your head off, son. But anyway, I learned I can talk to my kids. They got the smartphone, they got all that stuff. And I got my boy to go online and he Googled it. This book right here, I mean, if Google is right, it's got 11,189 chapters, 31,102 verses, 783,137 words, 3,116,480 letters, thousands and thousands of commas, question marks, explanation, hundreds of different stories, hundreds of different people from the beginning of Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. From the creation of Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes, Joseph, Moses, the judges, the kings and the prophets, to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the birth, the death, resurrection, second coming, his rule and his reign. And you know what about it is? It all fits perfectly together in this book. I mean, it's woven by the Holy Ghost, like with a thin thread, a scarlet thread all the way through there. And it all comes together perfectly in a perfect picture. I mean, to produce the greatest story, the story of redemption, the story of forgiveness, the story of salvation, the story of restoration. And you know what the good part about it is? And I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe God predestinated, will, elected, wants anybody to go to hell. Amen. But I do believe in the sovereignty of God. Amen. And you know what? Are you ready for this one? Are you ready for this one? Everything I just mentioned, all of it happened before God ever formed the earth in the mind of God. Amen. Can I just say this? What a book. Amen. What a book we have got. What a God we serve. He's a great God, folks. He's a great God and a mighty God and an awesome God. He's an all-knowing God. He's an all-powerful God. There's nothing too hard, hey, for our God, and there's nothing impossible with our God. Can I ask you a question? If that be so, what in the world have we got to be afraid of? What in the world have we got to be defeated or discouraged or depressed about? My soul, I mean, instead of running around with the molly grubs, we ought to have ourselves a shouting spell. What a book and what a God that we serve. How in the world could we ever get in the dumps? But it's easy to do. It's easy to do. If you're not careful, if you're not careful, you can get in the dumps. You can get down. I mean, over there in Acts 28, where Paul was, he said that for the hope of Israel. You know what the hope of Israel was? The hope of Israel was for the coming of a king and a kingdom. You know why Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah? They wasn't looking for a savior to ride in on the back of an ass. They wasn't looking for somebody to come in to suffer and bleed and die for them. They were looking for somebody to come in on the back of the white stallion followed by some armies. They were looking for a king to come. I mean, to set up a kingdom on this earth to save them from their enemies. That was the hope of Israel. Can I just say this, friend? Are you ready for this? I got a message for you. Don't give up. Don't give up on hope. Don't get down in the dump. I got a message for you. The king is coming. I said the king is coming. I said the king is coming. One day, that same Jesus is going to step out on the clouds of glory. He's going to rapture us out of this old wicked world, and we're headed home to be with the Lord. Then he's coming back. Hey, I don't like riding horses. You say, why? They scare the fire out of me. One kicked me one time, and I hate them ever since. I don't like right. I want to tell you, buddy, when the Lord says, mount up, son, we're heading back. I'm going to mount up on my white stallion. Son, I'm going to be following him. Them clouds are going to roll back like a scroll. And, brother, we're going to come back. He's coming back in great power and great glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to sit down on the throne of David. He's going to rule on this earth for 1,000 glory. Hey, don't get defeated. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down and out. Thank God the King has come. Amen. Acts chapter number 27, one of my favorite chapters. Paul the apostle there is on that ship in a hurricane. I believe it was a hurricane. The hurricanes didn't start until a few years ago, but it was a hurricane. And the Bible said, for 14 days they didn't see the sun, the moon, the stars. Yeah. And it said all hope that they should be saved was gone. Yes, sir. But Paul, after a long absence, I can imagine he like a gopher. And I can imagine some of them looking at that and said, preacher, what are you smiling about? Be of good cheer. The ship's about to sink. Storms are rolling, lightning's are flashing, and the winds are blowing, the rains are pouring, and the ship's about to go down. And Paul said, be of good cheer. his angel stood beside me this night and said, not a hair. I love this part. I don't know why. But he said, not a hair on your head. I like that, don't you? Now, for you bald-headed men, God help me, you ought to be shouting about that. Not one hair, is going to perish. And he said this, in the midst of the storm, he said, all hope was gone. And he said, sirs, I believe God. Now, you know what the problem is with some of the saints? Some of the saints are all worried about the storm. Said about just faith and believing and trusting that God. I want to tell you something. God, kids, if you'll trust God, and I'm talking about trusting with everything you got, if you'll trust Him while you're young, God will bring you through every storm. He will, young ladies, He will never hurt you, break your heart, disappoint you. He will be with you all the way, even to the end of the world. I don't care how hard it gets, don't never, ever, ever get to the place where you just give up hope on God. Right. You know what one of the facts in the Word of God is? God's always had a people when there was no hope that believed in hope. Amen. I want to tell you something. God is going to have a remnant. Yes, sir. Still sticking by the stuff. Yes, sir. God's going to have a remnant when He comes back that's still sticking by the old time ways. Amen. Living for God, serving the Lord, going to church, reading their Bible. They'll never, ever, ever give up hope. Amen. But in Psalm chapter number 42 and 43, you'll find right there where three times in those two Psalms where you'll find where the psalmist said, hope on God. Why are you disquieted? Why are you downcast? Why are you defeated? Why are you discouraged? Hope thou in God. Sun's going to shine again. Amen. If you'll just keep your hope, if you'll just stay faithful, the sun will shine again. Amen. God will move again. God will bless again. But you can't jump out of the boat in the middle of the storm. Amen. I appreciate the preachers that God put in my life. I appreciate Dr. Carter. I know this brother here, and I appreciate him, but I appreciate Dr. Carter. And I tell you what, he has been like the other brother said, he's been like a refuge. And I appreciate an old preacher by the name of Ed McAbee. And Brother McAbee, he was one of my mentors. He was one of my role models. He's a man that I looked up to, as a young Christian. I looked up to him as a young preacher, and I looked up to him as a young pastor. Well, I tell you what, some of you young preachers, some of you young boys, let me give you some good advice. Lock on to some old men of God that's weathered the storm. Lock on to them. And I remember Brother Maccabee, he was teaching. Brother Carter, did you ever meet Brother Maccabee? Did you ever hear him? I mean, he's a good old man of God. And he's at home with the heaven. He's at home right now with the Lord. And I remember he was preaching a series of messages on the subject of the shepherd and the sheep. And he's talking about over in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, where he's talking about that, where the psalmist said, why art thou cast down? In other words, why are we defeated? Why are you so discouraged? He said, hope thou in God. And he said that was a term that was used by shepherds. So a lot of time the sheep, they'd get, sheep's lazy. Did you know that? There's a reason why God compared us to sheep. And sheep would eat, and they'd get their belly full, and all of a sudden they'd get tired, and they'd look for a place to lay down. And what they'd do, they'd find a little dip like that, and they'd lay on their back. They'd lay down, and it's top heavy. And when they did, they'd just roll over on the back. The feet stuck straight up. And they couldn't get back up. They couldn't get back up. And they were just open for an attack by the enemy, by the lions, the bears, the wolves, the coyotes. And if the shepherd didn't come and pick them up, it would be their destruction and death. Amen? Aren't you glad for the shepherd? Well, I know you ladies, y'all been through it. Aren't you glad for the shepherd that came by many times when you was laying flat on your back, you couldn't help yourself, and the shepherd picked you up and set you back on your feet again? Folks, 2021 was a roller coaster ride. I mean, I faced some things in 2021. I mean, I've been a pastor in our church now for 40 years, my first church, probably my last church. And I'll be honest with you, I went through a time somewhere about the end of April, around the 1st of May. And I was hurt. You pastors, how many pastors we have here? Pastors, you ever got to the place where you just get so hurt? People you love, people that you could die for, just feels like you're betrayed. Just seem like they just turn on you and you're hurt. And man, I tell you what, I went through a time. And I told my wife, and plus at the same time, I was a little bit mad. None of you preachers ever get mad, do you? I was mad. And I told my wife, I said, honey, I said, I'm going to go to the cabin. I got a place up in West Virginia, surrounded almost by the Jefferson National Forest. I said, I'm going to go up there, and I'm just going to spend some time with the Lord. She said, when you coming back, honey? I said, I don't know if I'm coming back. Now, when I say stuff like that, she doesn't say a word, because she knows I'm in a position and a place. After 50 years of marriage, she has learned that I'm in a place, don't mess with him right now. Just let him alone. So she didn't say something. Of course, she went there and she started praying. I packed up and I went to the cabin. And I stayed up there probably for three, four, five days. I had a big old brush pile right there in the middle of a field that I'd cut out. And I've been thinking for a year, so I'm going to burn that brush pile. And I thought, you know, this is a pretty good time to burn that. I'm up there by myself, almost two miles away from anybody, nobody around, no telephone, no fire department, nobody to call, nobody to look to, nobody to run to. And I lit that brush pile. And I thought, you know, it's not that bad. Ain't that dry? Ain't that bad? Ain't that dry? How many of you know what sagebrush is? You know what sagebrush is? It's something you don't want a fire to get started in. And I lit that fire, and all of a sudden that fire started burning. And I went and got me a rake, and I thought, I'll rake around the thing. I started raking around it. And all of a sudden I looked, and it was burning over here. And I ran over here, and I rake around it like that. I look, all of a sudden it's burning over here, and I run over here, and I'm 6-7 years old, you know, and I'm raking like that, raking. And I looked over here, and it's burning. I'd run over here. For about 2 to 3 hours, I fought that fire. And the fire had got so far apart that it was almost like 100 yards apart. And I'm surrounded now almost by the Jefferson National Forest. Federal government land. And I'm a raking like that, and I'm a raking. All of a sudden I look up, and man, it's a burning up there toward the National Forest. I can't even run there now. I'm further from here to that wall right there, and I run up there, and I got that rake, and I'm raking down there like that, and I'm raking and raking for about 2 to 3 hours. I fought that fire. And I looked up toward the Jefferson National Forest, and I mean, it was a blazing. And I just put it down way down here, and it was running through the yard, and I put it out, and I took off and running up that rough terrain, boulders, rocks, everywhere, good place to break a leg, good place to twist an ankle. And I got up there, and I was raking and raking, and all of a sudden I turned around and looked about 100 yards away. Son, it was blazing. It was blazing like that. I was so fatigued. My arms, you know what, you read about the Bible said the man's sword clave to his hand. The rake clave to my hand. I could not let the rake go. I was cramping in my arms. My legs was cramping. My mouth was so dry I couldn't swallow. I was starting to get dizzy. I almost passed out from the smoke, from the fire. And I remember, now folks, listen to me. I'm a Baptist, but I want to tell you something. There ain't nothing impossible with our God.
Amen.
Our God is a miracle working God.
Amen.
I took our kids youth camp up there and I told them the story. Kids, listen to me. Miracles are not just for preachers and pastors and Sunday school teachers. Miracles are for anyone that'll believe God.
Amen.
And I was about 100 yards away and I was watching that sagebrush. I mean, you could watch the fire go through my front yard and it was burning toward the forest. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You catch the Jefferson National Forest on fire, you're going to be starting a prison ministry.
Yeah.
With weirdos in it. And I remember I turned around. Doc, God's my witness. I turned around and I couldn't. I said, I can't go back down there. I can't go back down there. I mean, I was cramping. I couldn't move. I was sick. I was dizzy. I was about to pass out. And all of a sudden, I looked and I said, Lord, I can't do this. I cannot put this fire out. And if you don't help me, I'm going to wind up in a lot of trouble. God's my witness. The fire that was blazing laid down. It laid down, Scotty. I looked at that and I thought, whoa. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I'm looking, whoa. But that wasn't the good part. Because you got to remember, I went up there, Doc, I went up there determined that I was going to come back to my church and resign.
Yeah.
That's how mad, that's how hurt I was. And I watched that fire lay down.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And God, and I know God don't speak to us in an audible voice, but we know when God speaks, don't
Amen.
We?
Amen.
Dr. Carter, God spoke to my heart and said this, I'm with you.
Amen.
He just said, I'm with you. You said, what was that preacher? That was the shepherd. I was laying flat on my back. I was down. I was defeated. But thank God the shepherd came, picked me up. I went back to my church and I said, Lord, I said, I don't care. They can fire me. They can hate my guts. As long as I know you're with me, I can fight a buzzsaw. And I got a wonderful church, folks. Just don't believe it. Look at my truck. Ain't that right, Dr. Carter? You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, I don't care how bad it gets. Kids, I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care how hard the storm gets. Disappointments, discouragement, depression, the battles. I don't care if it's prison, persecution. I don't care what it is. Don't never, ever, ever, ever get to the place where you give up on hope.
Amen.
You just keep hoping. I'll make you a promise. If you'll just keep on trusting God, stay in the boat, stay right, weather out the storm, the sun will shine again.